Chapter 23, Fun with Spike, Van Helsing's Gazette. Did you do much Seb containment work? Agent Stoker. Oh yes, the capture of supreme evil beings, or Sebs as we call them, is the main bread and butter work for SO-17. Quite how there can be more than one supreme evil being, I have no idea. Every Seb I ever captured considered itself not only the worst personification of unadulterated evil that ever stalked the earth, but also the only personification of unadulterated evil that ever stalked the earth. It must have been quite a surprise, and not a little galling, to be locked away with several thousand other Sebs, all pretty much the same, in row upon row of plain glass jars at the loathsome ID containment facility. I don't know where they came from. I think they leak in from elsewhere. The same way as a leaky tap drips water. They should replace the washer. Agent Spike Stoker, SO-27, retired. Interviewed for Van Helsing's Gazette, 1996. The incidents I am about to relate took place in the winter of the year 1985, at a place whose name even now, by reasons of propriety, it seems safer not to divulge. Suffice to say that the small village I visited that night was deserted, and had been for some time. The houses stood empty and vandalized, the pub, corner shop, and village hall, but empty shells. As I drove slowly into the dark village, rats scurried amongst the detritus, and small pockets of mist appeared briefly in my headlights. I reached the old oak at the crossroads, stopped, switched off the lights, and surveyed the morbid surroundings. I could hear nothing. Not a breath of wind gave life to the trees about me. No distant sound of humanity raised my spirits. It had not always been so. Once children played here, neighbours hailed neighbours with friendly greetings, lawnmowers buzzed on a Sunday afternoon, and the congenial crack of leather on willow drifted up from the village green. But no more. All lost one late winter's night not 5 years earlier, when the forces of evil rose and claimed the village and all that lived within. I looked about, my breath showing on the still night. By the manner in which the blackened timbers of the empty houses pierced the sky, it seemed as though the memory of that night was still etched upon the fabric of the ruins. Parked close by was another car, and leaning against the door was the man who had brought me to this place. He was tall and muscular, and had faced horrors that I, thankfully, would never have to face. He did this with his heart filled with courage and duty in equal measure, and as I approached, a smile rose on his features, and he spoke.
What a shithole, eh, Thurs?
You're not kidding, I replied, glad to be with company. All kinds of creepy weirdness was running through my head just now.
How have you been? Hubby still with the existence problem?
Still the same, but I'm working on it. What's the score here? Spike clapped his hands together and rubbed them.
Ah, yes, thanks for coming. This is one job I can't do on my own.
I followed his gaze towards the derelict church and the surrounding graveyard. It was a dismal place, even by Spec Ops 17 standards, which tended to regard anything that is merely dreary as a good venue for a party. It was surrounded by two rows of higher wire fences. No one had come or gone since the Troubles, 10 years previously. The restless spirits of the condemned souls trapped within the churchyard had killed all plant life not only within the confines of the dark place, but for a short distance all around it. I could see the grass wither and die not 2 yards from the inner fence, the trees standing lifeless in the moonlight. In truth, the wire fences were to keep the curious or just plain stupid out, as much as to keep the undead in. A ring of burnt yew wood, just within the outer wire, was the last line of undead defence across which they could never move. But it didn't stop them trying. Occasionally, a member of the Dark One's legion of lost souls made it across the inner fence. Here they lumbered into the motion sensors affixed at 10-foot intervals. The undead might be quite good servants of the Dark One, but they were certainly crap when it came to electronics. They usually blundered around in the area between the fences until the early morning sun or an SO-17 flamethrower reduced their lifeless husk to a cinder and released the tormented soul to make its way through eternity in peace. I looked at the derelict church and the scattered tombs of the desecrated graveyard and shivered. What are we doing? Torching the lifeless walking husks of the undead?
Well, no, replied Spike uneasily, moving to the rear of his car. I wish it were as simple as that. He opened the boot of his car and passed me a clip of silver bullets. I reloaded my gun and frowned at him. What then? Dark forces are afoot, Thursday. Another supreme evil being is pacing the earth. Another? What happened? Did he escape? Spike sighed. There have been a few cuts in recent years, and Seb Transportation is now done by a private contractor. 3 months ago, they mixed up the consignment, and instead of delivering him straight to the loathsome id containment facility, they left him at the St. Merriweather's Home for Retired Gentlefolk. TNN said it was Legionnaire's disease. That's the usual cover story. Anyhow, some idiot opened the jar and all hell broke loose. I managed to corner it, but getting the Seb transferred back to his jar is going to be tricky. And that's where you come in. Does this plan involve going in there? I pointed to the church, as if to make a point. Two barn owls flew noiselessly from the belfry and soared close by our heads. I'm afraid so. We should be fine. There will be a full moon tonight, and they don't generally perambulate on the lightest of nights. It'll be easy as falling off a log. So what do I do? I asked uneasily. I can't tell you for fear that he will hear my plan, but keep close and do precisely what I tell you. Do you understand? No matter what it is, you must do precisely what I tell you. Okay. Promise? I promise. No, I mean you have to really promise. All right, I really promise. Good. I officially deputise you into Spec Ops 17. Let's pray for a moment. Spike dropped to his knees and muttered a short prayer under his breath, something about delivering us both from evil, and how he hoped his mother would get to the top of the hip replacement waiting list, and that Cindy wouldn't drop in like a hot potato when she found out what he did. As for myself, I said pretty much what I usually said, but added that if Landon was watching, could he please, please, please keep an eye out for me? Spike got up. Ready? Ready. Then let's make some light out of this darkness. He pulled a green holdall from the back of the car and a pump-action shotgun. We walked towards the rusty gates and I felt a chill on my neck. Feel that? Asked Spike. Yes. He's close. We'll meet him tonight, I promise you. Spike unlocked the gates and they swung open with a squeak of long, unoiled hinges. Operatives generally use their flamethrowers through the wire. No one would trouble coming in here unless there was serious work to be done. He relocked the gates behind us and we walked through the undead no-go zone. What about the motion sensors? A beeper went off from his car. I'm pretty much the only recipient. Helsing knows what I'm doing. If we fail, he'll be along tomorrow morning to clean up the mess. Thanks for the reassurance. Don't worry, replied Spike with a grin. We won't fail. We arrived at the second gate. The musty smell of long-departed corpses reached my nostrils. It had been softened to the odour of rotted leaves by age, but it was still unmistakable. Once inside the inner gates, we made our way swiftly to the Lich Gate and walked through the crumbling structure. The churchyard was a mess. The graves had all been dug up, and the remains of those too far gone to be resurrected had been flung around the graveyard. They had been the fortunate ones. Those that were freshly dead had been press-ganged into a second career as servants of the Dark One. Not something you would want to put on your CV, if you still had one. Untidy bunch, aren't they? I whispered as we picked our way across the scattered human bones to the heavy oak door. I wrote Cindy some poetry, said Spike softly, rummaging in his pocket. If anything happens, will you give it to her?
Give it to her yourself? Nothing's going to happen. You said so yourself.
And don't say things like that. It gives me the wobblies. Right, said Spike, putting the poem back in his pocket. Sorry. He took a deep breath and grasped the handle, turned it and pushed open the door. The interior was not as pitch black as I had supposed. The moonlight streamed in the remains of the large stained glass windows and the holes in the roof. Although it was gloomy, we could still see. The church was in no better state than the graveyard. The pews had been thrown around and broken into matchwood. The lectern was lying in an untidy heap, and all sorts of vandalism of a chilling nature had taken place.
Home away from home for his supreme evilness, wouldn't you say?
said Spike with a cheery laugh. He moved behind me and shut the heavy door, turning the large iron key in the lock and handing it to me for safekeeping. I looked around but could see no one in the church. The door to the vestry was firmly locked, and I looked across at Spike. He doesn't appear to be here.
Oh, he's here all right. We just have to flush him out. Darkness can hide in all sorts of corners. We just need the right sort of fox terrier to worry it out of the rabbit hole. Metaphorically speaking, of course.
Of course. And where might this metaphorical rabbit hole be? Spike looked at me sternly and pointed to his temple.
He's up here. He thought he could dominate me from within, but I've trapped him somewhere in the frontal lobes. I have some uncomfortable memories, and those help to screen him. Trouble is, I can't seem to get him out again.
I have someone like that, I replied, thinking of Hades barging into the tea room memory with Landon.
Oh? Well, forcing him out is going to be a bit tricky. I thought his home ground might make him emerge spontaneously, but it seems not. Hang on, let me have a go.
Spike leaned in against the remains of a pew and grunted and strained for a few minutes, making some of the oddest faces as he tried to expel the spirit of the evil one. It looked as if he were trying to force a bowling ball out of his left nostril. After a few minutes of exertions, he stopped.
Bastard! It's like trying to snatch a trout from a mountain stream with a boxing glove. Never mind. I have a plan B, which shouldn't fail.
The metaphorical fox terrier?
Exactly so. Thursday, draw your weapon.
Now what?
Shoot me.
Where?
In the chest, head, anywhere fatal. Where'd you think, in my foot?
You're joking.
Never been more serious.
Then what?
Good point. I should have explained that first.
He opened the holdall to reveal a vacuum cleaner.
Battery-powered, explained Spike. As soon as his spirit makes an appearance, suck him up.
As simple as that?
As simple as that. Seb containment isn't rocket science, Thursday. It's just not for the squeamish. Now, kill me. Spike!
What?
I can't do it. But you promised. And what's more, you really promised. If promising meant killing you, I replied in an exasperated tone, I wouldn't have gone along with it. Spec Ops 17 work ain't no bed of roses, Thursday. I've had enough, and believe me, having this little nerd coiled up in my head is not as easy as it looks. I should never have let him in the first place. But what's done is done. You have to kill me, and kill me well.
You're crazy.
Undoubtedly. But look around you. You followed me in here. Who's crazier? The crazy or the crazy who follows him?
Listen, I began.
What's that?
There was a thump on the church door.
Blast, replied Spike. The undead, not necessarily fatal and severely handicapped by that slow swagger, but they can be troublesome if you get cornered. After you've killed me and captured Chuckles up here, you may have to shoot your way out. Take my keys. These two here are for the inner and outer gates. It's a bit stiff, but you have to turn it to the left. I get the picture.
Another thump echoed the first. There was a crash from the vestry and a shape moved past one of the lower windows.
They are gathering, said Spike ominously. You'd better get a move on. I can't. You can, Thursday. I forgive you. It's been a good career. Did you know that out of the 329 Spec Ops 17 operatives who have ever been, only two ever made it to retirement age?
Did they tell you that when you joined? There was a sound of stone against stone as one of the graves from the floor was pushed aside. The undead who was thumping on the door was joined by another, and then another. Outside we could hear the noises of the awakening. Despite the moonlit night, the evil one was calling to his servants, and they were coming, running or shambling at the very least.
Do it, said Spike in a more urgent manner. Do it now, before it's too late.
I raised my gun and pointed it at Spike.
Do it.
I increased the pressure on the trigger as a shaky form stood up from the open grave behind him. I pointed the gun at the figure instead. The pathetic creature was so far dried out it could barely move, but it sensed our presence and teetered in our direction anyway.
Don't shoot it, shoot me, said Spike with some alarm in his voice. The job in hand, Thursday, please.
I ignored him and pulled the trigger.
The hammer fell harmlessly with a dull thock.
Eh?
I said, rechambering the next round. Spike was quicker than I and loosed off a shot that disintegrated the head of the abomination, who then collapsed in a heap of dried skin and powdery bone. The sound of scrabbling increased from the door.
God damn and blast next! Why couldn't you do as I told you?
What?
I put that dud on the top of your clip, idiot.
Why?
He tapped his head. So I could trick Chuckles in here to come out. He's not going to stay in a host he thinks is about to croak. You pull the trigger, out he comes, dud bullet, Stoker lives, Seb sucked up, QED.
Why didn't you tell me?
I asked, my temper rising. You had to mean to kill me. He might be the personification of all that is evil within the heart of man, but he's no fool.
Oops.
Oops indeed, knucklehead.
Right. We better get out of here.
Isn't there a plan C?
I asked as we headed for the door.
Shit no, replied Spike as he fumbled with the key. B is as high as I ever get.
Another creature was arising from behind some upended tables that once held a harvest festival display. I caught it before it was even upright. I turned back to Spike, who had the key in the lock and was muttering something about how he wished he was working at Somworld.
Stay away from the door, Spike.
He recognized the serious tone in my voice. He turned to face the barrel of my automatic.
Whoa, careful, Thursday. That's the end that bites.
It ends here and tonight, Spike.
This is a joke, right?
No joke, Spike. You're right. I have to kill you. It's the only way.
Steady on, Thursday. Aren't you taking this just a little bit too seriously?
The supreme evil being must be stopped, Spike. You said so yourself.
I know I said that, but can we come back tomorrow with a plan C instead?
There is no plan C, Spike. It ends now. Close your eyes.
Wait! Close them.
He closed his eyes and I pulled the trigger and twitched my hand at the same time. The slug powered its way through three layers of clothing, grazed Spike's shoulder, and buried itself in the wood of the old door. It did the trick. With a short and unearthly wail, a wispy entity like smoke emerged from Spike's nostrils and coalesced into the ethereal version of an old and long unwashed dishcloth.
Good work! Muttered Spike in a very relieved voice
as he took a step sideways and started to fumble with the bag that contained the vacuum cleaner.
Don't let it get near you.
I drew back as the wraith-like spirit moved in my direction.
Fooled, said a low voice. Fooled by a mere mortal. How utterly, utterly depressing.
The thumping had now increased and was almost coming from the vestry door. I could see the hinge pins start to loosen in the powdery mortar.
Keep him talking, yelled Spike as he pulled out the vacuum cleaner. A vacuum cleaner? Sneered the low voice. Spike, you insult me.
Spike didn't answer, but instead unwound the hose and switched the battery-powered appliance on.
A vacuum cleaner won't hold me, sneered the voice again. Do you really believe that I can be trapped in a bag like so much dust?
Spike turned the vacuum cleaner on and sucked up the small spirit in a trice. He didn't seem that frightened of it, I murmured as Spike fiddled with the machine's controls.
This isn't any vacuum cleaner, Thursday. James over at R&D dreamt it up for me. You see, unlike conventional vacuum cleaners, this one works on a dual cyclone principle that traps dust and evil spirits by powerful centrifugal force. Since there is no bag, there is no loss of suction. You can use a lower wattage motor. There's a hose action and a small brush for stair carpets.
You find evil spirits in stair carpets?
No, but my stair carpets need cleaning just the same as anyone else's.
I looked at the glass container and could see a small vestige of white spinning round very rapidly. Spike deftly placed the lid on the jar and detached it from the machine. He held it up, and there inside was a very angry and now quite dizzy spirit of the evil one. Well and truly trapped.
As I said, went on Spike, it's not rocket science.
You had me scared, though. I thought you really were going to kill me.
That, I replied, was Plan D. Spike! You bastard!
Said the small voice from inside the jar.
You'll suffer the worst torments in hell for this.
Yeah, yeah, replied Spike as he placed the jar in the hold all. You and all the rest.
He slung the bag round his body, replaced the spent cartridge in his shotgun with another from his pocket, and flicked off the safety.
Come on. Those deadbeats are starting to get on my tits. Whoever nails the least is a sissy pence.
We flung open the door to a bunch of very surprised dried corpses, who fell inwards in a large tangled mass of putrefied torsos and stick-like limbs. Spike opened fire first, and after we had dispatched that lot, we dashed outside, dodged the slower of the undead, and cut down the others as we made our way to the gates.
The Cindy problem, I said, as the head of a long dead carcass exploded in response to Spike's shotgun. Did you do as I suggested?
Sure did, replied Spike, letting fly at another walking corpse. Stakes and crucifixes in the garage and all my back issues of Van Helsing's Gazette in the living room.
Did she get the message?
I asked, surprising another walking corpse who had been trying to stay out of the action behind a tombstone.
She didn't say anything,
he replied, decapitating two dried cadavers.
But the funny thing is, I now found copies of Sniper magazine in the toilet, and a copy of Great Underworld Hitman has appeared in the kitchen.
Perhaps she's trying to tell you something.
Yes, agreed Spike. But what?
I bagged 10 undead that night, but Spike only managed 8, so he was the sissy pants. We partook of a haddock chowder with freshly baked bread at a roadside eatery and joked about the night's events while the Seb swore at us from his glass jar. I got my 600 quid, and my landlord didn't get Pickwick. All in all, it was a good evening. Well spent.